Hallo bei Irgendwas mit Menschen, dem Podcast rund um die Themen soziale Arbeit und Medien.
Es gibt so viele Menschen, wovon erkenntlich viele fremden Menschen Liebe schenken, ohne an Profit zu denken. Menschen dienen Menschen in Krisen und vielen Momenten. Menschen wenden sich Menschen zu, wenn sie frieren. Menschen spenden für Menschen, Menschen erziehen.
Dann herzlich willkommen bei Irgendwas mit Menschen, dem Podcast rund um die Themen soziale Arbeit und Medien. Heute zur Erklärung werde ich das Interview auf Englisch machen und schuld daran, oder ja, der Grund dafür ist ein Assistant Professor aus den USA, mit dem ich heute sprechen darf, nämlich Matt DiCarlo. Hey Matt, nice to see you.
Hey, it's good to see you too.
So, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Yeah.
I can't complain.
Okay. So, first of all, can you explain to the audience, to the listeners of me, who you are and what your work is all about?
Sure. So, this is my third year as a professor or an assistant professor of social work at Radford University, which is a kind of small public university in Virginia. About right at the end of my first year at Radford, we had a librarian come and present to our department on open educational resources. And I didn't realize that was a thing. I didn't realize that was the thing that people did. I think our department was pretty excited about it, but we were, I think the reaction was like, yeah, that's a good idea. Too bad there are no social work resources. And so I was like, well, it seems like a good opportunity. It seems like if you create one, people will use it. That's sort of been what I've been doing for the last 2 years or so. Last year, I sort of formalized that into a project called Open Social Work Education. Sort of the goal is to really create as many OER for social work as possible, try and bring people together who are interested in sharing their work, and really do a lot of education and advocacy around OER inside of the social work space. So that's sort of what I do now.
Okay, fine. So that's the reason why I catch you, because of the project Open Social Work Education. You can find it at the domain opensocialworkeducation.com as well. So at the very first page, you make a mission statement, and it says, unlocking social work knowledge. What exactly does this mean?
Sure. So the idea behind open education is to lower barriers to access for information. So same thing within social work. The idea is to create free educational resources that are more accessible to students. So a lot of the studies of access to educational materials inside of higher education show that students either don't buy textbooks because they're too expensive, or they wait until like the second or third week of class before they're like, man, I really need this book. I'm not going to pass this class if I don't buy this book. Okay. What open educational resources allow people to do is to access that knowledge on the first day of class for free. And that is sort of one of the aspects of OER, but it's about more than just like giving your stuff away for free, which, you know, is a good idea. It's also, you know, there are reasons why you want people to pay for stuff.
Yeah.
The other side of it is basically making educational resources sort of similar to open source software. So much like you would have an open source project where other people can build on your work, where you sort of share via like something like GitHub, like this is the software I did, and other people can sort of make clones of that and sort of build their own stuff. Why don't we do the same thing with educational resources? So for example, like if you're a professor and you are starting a new class, you probably, at least inside of the States, are gonna use a textbook. I know that like inside of Europe, that is maybe less of a thing. People maybe have less of an appetite to buy 150 like US dollar textbook for every single class they are in. But oddly enough, that's sort of the system that we have inside of the US. what open educational resources sort of allow you to do is instead of like getting a textbook, getting all the PowerPoints and slideshows and stuff that come from the publisher, you can, and then you can sort of customize that stuff. All of the customization work sort of has to stay within your own class. Okay. So all of the stuff that you do to sort of figure out how do I best teach this stuff, I mean, you can share it informally with colleagues like a little bit, but you don't do, it's really not, it's not all that it could be. So what OER allows you to do is take that stuff that you've customized to your course and share it broadly and share it widely. So using a Creative Commons license, you can just stick that on your customization stuff and build something that other people can see, other people can review, other people can build off of. So for me, I had a $150 textbook in a research methods class, which is really stupid because research methods, like intro research methods, has not changed at all. I could probably use a 40-year-old textbook, and aside from the language being like kind of arcane, it would work just fine.
Yeah.
I like adapted an open textbook from the open textbook library, and then other people can create ancillary or derivative materials, so they can create activities or videos, anything based on that stuff because it is openly licensed. They can access it for free, which is sort of important as well. I can collaborate with other people, and we can then share all of our sort of derivative stuff basically openly as well. So it creates sort of a community of practice around knowledge. It takes things from a very sort of for-profit, locked, closed system and creates a more open system that's founded on more commons-based approaches.
Okay, let me ask very dumb questions. So you don't want to make money with your knowledge?
If I could think of a way to make money, that would be cool. But like, honestly, I don't think there's... So let me back up. So there are OER companies that do make money. Basically, everybody has to figure out a way to either do that or forego doing that. So if you look at a company like Lumen Learning, what they do is they sort of have a core textbook that you can access for free, but they build in these sort of like customized homework assignments and like they've really cool software. So they pay like $30 or $40 for that, students do. For our project, I don't think that I could find something that would make profit really work.
Yeah.
And I think for students, I think rather for like a small profession like social work, although we are sort of large in numbers, like as when we're looking at sort of like the general education curriculum, we're kind of small potatoes. I think we have sort of the opportunity to create something that is a sort of more nonprofit, peer-to-peer type thing. And it's not because like making money is wrong. There's always going to be a market for textbooks that are good and you can charge money for them. And if you are an author who is interested in sharing your work as OER, if you created that thing, you can still charge money for it. It just means that other people can sort of build off of it using some of the permissions that you give through Creative Commons. So it's not like profit is bad. I just don't see a way where this is really going to make anybody any money.
So you can compare it maybe to open software like Linux distributions. They earn money as well as I know with providing services like manage the software, the OS and stuff like that. Yes. So this could be a point where you can make money as well.
Probably not. I think that there are ways where it would be possible to monetize this, but I don't really have a lot of interest in that.
Okay. So let me go back to your project. You write you want to turn the core curriculum of social work open by 2025. How will you manage this challenge?
I said it like 6 years from now, so like that's at least good. If I did it by next year, that would be driving myself nuts. I do have to apologize for my own sort of ignorance around like how social work education is structured in Germany or in other European Union states, because I don't I don't honestly know as well. At least inside of the States, we have four core areas. We have research, policy, practice, and theory. And those are sort of your core classes. You may take one or two of those. They might break them down to go into more detail. But like, if you're hitting all four of those, you're getting most of the social work curriculum. Mm-hmm. You might have an intro class. You might have a couple of electives on it, but that's basically it. So the goal of the Open by 2025 project is to create an undergraduate textbook and a graduate textbook that is openly licensed and that has basically the same resources you would get from a traditional publisher. So like slideshows, activities, quiz questions in a test bank, that sort of stuff, for each of those four domains on the graduate and undergraduate level. So it's an ambitious goal. The goal is to create teams that will sort of take on each core domain. So right now, since I'm a research methods professor, I've been taking on the research one. So we have an undergraduate book, which is the first open textbook in social work called Scientific Inquiry in Social Work. It's a pretty easy undergraduate textbook. Students tend to like it, which is nice. At least my students do. The annoying thing for them, as an aside, is that they have to hear it in my voice because they know that I wrote it. So, like, that's a terrible punishment. The graduate edition we're working on this summer. Mm-hmm. So I got a pretty good team of some of the people from my PhD program and some instructional designers and a librarian together, and we're creating a graduate edition. So we'll be about 25% done by the end of the summer.
Okay, cool.
So the goal now is to approach other professors. So to sort of do some education at social work conferences and to try and use some of the existing networks for resource sharing and things like that to build networks of people and to build those working teams who will then work on textbooks. I have pretty low interest in writing another textbook or in like project management is a lot. So I would like other people to be a part of this. And so we have, I think, a couple of people who have expressed interest in a policy textbook. For practice, there was a low-cost, traditionally licensed resource that I think that that project may end up going OER. So we are hopefully, I mean, I would hope that they would contribute to some of the practice resources. So that's sort of where we're at now. I'm still pretty confident that we'll actually make that goal, just because once people sort of figure out that, once people are aware of OER, those who are really interested in it tend to really want to get stuff done. And the nice thing about it, at least from my own experience, is that once you like put something out there, people will use it. It's not like everybody is like dying to change the textbook or their materials for their class because, you know, time's short and all of that stuff. But the people who are interested in course redesign are interested in having like a no cost textbook that they can customize to their heart's desire.
Yeah. So let me ask a question to the high level of knowledge, or how can you guarantee that? I mean, you wrote the book, so it's off. it's clearly high level of knowledge. So, but when you have people who help you writing textbooks and writing quizzes, how can you guarantee the knowledge level? Have you sort of peer-reviewed methods or stuff like this?
Sure. So there are two ways that peer review happens inside of open publishing. One is part of the publishing process, and then one is sort of after publication. What I did for my undergraduate textbook, the Scientific Inquiry textbook, I did it after publication. My goal for that was just to get it out. I adapted pretty significantly from a textbook that was well-reviewed, inside of the open textbook library. So I was pretty sure that most of the core material in there was going to be pretty good. So once I was done with the process and published it, it actually just got its first two reviews in the Open Textbook Library over winter break, so in like December and January, which was great. They were they were good reviews, and they were also helpful for me to figure out, like, okay, for a second edition, what sort of stuff do I need to change around? What do I need to include? So that was really good. But that's not really ideal. I think professors want to know that sort of a peer review process was a part of the publication process. So for our graduate book, what we're doing is we have a team of three faculty advisors who are sort of senior professors, either full professors or associate professors. And they're providing input sort of on stages throughout the process. So they read our table of contents and sort of our vision statement and given feedback on that. Over the next 2 months, they'll give input on our chapter outlines. And then in July, they will actually read the textbook and provide sort of a rubric feedback. And that is sort of the goal. That's the ideal. Because once you have that stuff, you can sort of put in a peer review statement. Assuming they don't want to be blind, we haven't really talked about that yet. We can put down, like, these people say this is a good thing. And they're well respected, so maybe you would think it's a good thing. But I think your question sort of talks about, like, if you're a professor, like, how do you know that, like, this isn't garbage? Like, you don't want to, like, get, like, 2 weeks into the semester, you're like, this book is terrible. I have to do so much work with this. I mean, I think for those decisions, like, professors have to do that anyway. Like, how do you determine whether you want to use this new article inside of your class? Because, like, we tweak stuff, but it's very boring to do the same thing over and over again. You always want to sort of make it better and learn from that stuff. But, like, it's the same sort of skills. So if you were evaluating, like, a new edition of a textbook, which at least in the States comes out every 2 years because, you know, money. So it's the same thing. Like, do you want to adopt this new edition? All right, well, is it any good? Does it offer anything? Does it do the things that I want to do? I think that I was lucky in that a lot of people just didn't like the research methods textbook. The textbook that I created came out 2 weeks before the start of the fall semester, before the academic year. And I got 6 adoptions. So I had people who had basically, like, skimmed the textbook. Were like, all right, this is good enough. We're going to go with that. I think that was sort of fortunate. But I think it's really a matter of just using those same sort of scholarly skills that you would have. But most of the textbooks, at least inside of the Open Textbook Library, which is where we want to store all of our stuff, are pretty well reviewed. There are some bad ones in there, but, you know.
Cool. So let's get back to the topic OER, Open Educational Resources. So in preparation for this interview, I've looked up at the International Federation of Social Work, and there's a global definition of social work. And especially there was a topic headlined with knowledge. And in conclusion, they wrote that we, in social work, we use theories by our own, as well as theories by other sciences. So in addition, we do in research in social work, we do a sort of co-construction with service users. So my question about this, isn't there a remix or a share approach in social work implemented by design of social work? How it should work out?
Yeah, I think there really should be. So for, like, social work education, part of that is, like, sort of co-creating materials with students, which is something that we're definitely doing on that project. I sort of mentioned our faculty advisors. We also have 3 student advisors who will give input onto the textbook as well. But that's hey, buddy. So that's more about that's my son. So that's sort of more about. That's sort of more about, like, textbooks and stuff, but, like, the actual, like, knowledge that we use inside of social work is supposed to be co-constructed with those, with client populations and stuff. I think there is a lot of potential for open education inside of the practice space. There's a lot of potential for open science as well inside of the practice space. So having program evaluations that are, you know, client involved, but also that are shared openly. To the extent possible, would be great. I think, I don't know. Most of the stuff that we teach, though, inside of social work research and theory, I think is not that way. It is mostly received wisdom and the stuff that we were taught in class with maybe some tweaks that have come up. at least in as much as I've experienced it, like having gotten 2 degrees in social work.
So would you say open educational resources have sort of political message, a radical political message?
I think they're really compatible with a radical political message. I think that there are ways to sort of approach OER that are very informed by a critical and radical perspective on social work and social work education. I don't think that's necessarily the only way to do it, that OER can both be sort of a liberatory, like there's a wonderful OER journal called Open Praxis. It is a very critical and radical approach towards that stuff. But I think that there is a much more sort of conservative and incremental way that OER works as well. So OER is not saying you should, put all of your textbooks, scan them and put them on BitTorrent, and everybody should just be able to download all of them, and everybody should learn how to use Sci-Hub. That's not what this is. Yeah. That would be a more radical sort of like burn the system down message. I think OER is a way to, it's sort of identifying the sort of damage that copyright maximalism has had on access to knowledge and the ability to interact with that knowledge and share it. And creating a new system that doesn't have those issues, or at least addresses a lot of the issues with the old system. It's not like it's flawless, it's not. But it is much, much better. So I think the message is sort of informed by a more like an understanding of the commons and an understanding of public domain and shared knowledge that seems quite radical to our eye now. But I mean, that's only in the context of, at least inside of like the US context, where everything I write is immediately copyrighted.
Yes.
I don't have to register it with anybody. I don't have to do, like, everything is that. And it is copyrighted for a very, very, very long time. And the U.S., you know, it foists that upon the world through international treaties. So that's, people who are sort of my age, unless we sort of think about this stuff or come to know it, and social workers don't have a lot of inclination to understand copyright law, because that's not a thing that happens to our clients very often. Then it's something that we don't necessarily know, but it's something that we should know, because it has to do with who has access to knowledge and who can create it.
Okay, so as far as I am informed, the Creative Commons started as well in the US. So what are the next big steps for your project Open Social Education? Open Social Work Education. Yeah. What are the next big steps?
I'm really looking forward to getting this book published this summer. That'll be really good. So the goal after that, right now we are doing, I finished a pilot study with bachelor's level students or undergraduates. We did a really quick A-B comparison. So I'll be presenting on that at a conference, at a social work conference in a month or so. I'm finishing up a study testing the same OER textbook in graduate students, doing the same A-B comparison, but on 2 different sites. So we're comparing online or hybrid online in-person students, so-called blended learning with traditional students, to see if people who are more engaged online are going to be, and especially part-time students, are going to benefit from OER a little bit more. And our hypothesis is, yeah, they probably will, because they're these are students who are usually not coming right out of undergraduate. They have families, they are working full-time, so that, you know, the extra $150 they save on this textbook, it means quite a bit. So once those things finish up, the sort of goal is to hit the social work education conference circuit and sort of use the research that we've done to spread awareness of OER and of the textbooks that we're creating, and try and build new networks at those conferences. I'm hoping to sort of build in a lot of, or at least a couple of events. So at the next conference, I'm hoping to do sort of like a luncheon, like a get to know you type of thing. But my hope is for next academic year to build in some more, you know, robust stuff. So the goal would be to have people who want to share their resources, to have a sort of like I don't know what to call it, like a mixer where you would go and share resources on a place like OER Commons or Merlot, just to get sort of people used to that. And it's like a very low threshold play around in OER type of activity. Other things you can do are like test bank jams. So where everybody sort of like gets together and writes a test bank for a thing, but does so inside of like a, you know, social and collegial environment. So those are some of the things that I'm hoping to do over the course of the next year. So to hopefully capitalize on some of that research and go to conferences and then build in some open jam like stuff that we can do. And then hopefully the last thing after that is to, I'm working on a grant right now to do a large scale multi-site study of OER. So that same, I'm going to professors from all over the country implement, you know, just their normal traditional textbook and just measure their students as a control condition and then have them in another semester or simultaneously just in a different classroom implement an open textbook and have them do sort of simultaneous or have them sort of compare their students along final grades, standardized measure of research knowledge, and some other scales that we've thrown in as well. That study will probably be the first study that includes that addresses OER towards graduate students. So inside of there's no OER literature in social work. I'm hoping to churn out a bunch this year because I have some good data on it. But the broader OER literature is pretty solid. Like we know OER at least achieves pretty much the same educational outcomes for much lower cost. But that's mostly for general education classes. So like your Psych 100, your History 100, like the sort of simple classes. The high enrollment classes, that's where sort of most of the money went, because that's where if you're like a big foundation, that's your most bang for the buck. But for graduate students, we don't know as much. I mean, it should be sort of the same, but like, you know, we don't know. So the goal is to really be among the first studies, if not the first study, that addresses that population. So with that study, I really want to have social workers who want to start working in open to have a pretty solid evidence base where that they can point to both within the discipline and be more aware of the OER literature in general. So that's sort of what I hope to do. I'm also working on an OER committee at my school to try and spread adoption and just spread awareness. Basically, I have to meet with a bunch of administrators I've never met before to hopefully talk to them about OER, which may be a thing they don't really know about, and just give help. Hopefully I can have them give permission to people who want to start working in this space. So just to do some policy change at Radford where I work.
Yeah, cool. So last question, have you got some attention with your site and project in the US or at your university at Radford?
So I don't know. I think you might be the person, you're not the first person to take notice, but you might be the first person who has like a podcast, or who has an audience, to took notice. So I was very happy. I checked our mailing list, when we had, I think like 20 or 25 people on it. I was like, wow, people are interested. I can email all these people now. So I think, I don't think anybody's really, I mean, I don't think anybody who might be considered a gatekeeper has really taken notice. But the textbook that I wrote is on 11 campuses now, which is great because it came out 6 months ago. So that's kind of nice. And as a result of that process, people are generally more aware of the overall project. And I can learn more about open educational resources sort of through that stuff. I'm hoping to use our sort of monthly mailing list as a way to expand, just be able to interact with people. The OER space is such a fun space to play in because everybody's super nice and they all want to share their stuff. And I think it would be exhausting for people to maybe try and to pay attention to so many different currents of information. So I hope that I'm able to sort of synthesize that stuff into here's what might be relevant to social work, at least at this point.
Okay.
I don't think anybody big has taken notice.
Okay, so I hope the best for you and your project. I'm excited to hear about what's up next. And that was it.
Thanks.
Quick interview with Matt DiCarlo, assistant professor from the US. Thank you, Matt, having you as a guest. It was a pleasure.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much for doing this.
Okay. So have a nice day. Bye.
Bye.